Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. It's another week of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to be back in studio this week after a week last week of covering some of the local Little League teams. It was a lot of fun. That championship game on Friday night, New Albany gets past Evansville Highland. They are going on to the Great Lakes Regional. We'll have more on that later this week. But our streaming numbers through the roof for some of these Little League games. We appreciate you guys being with us. And again, we want to be out there in the Southern Indiana sports community. And glad you were with us. I know a lot of people came up, a lot of people with us, and another great accomplishment by all New Albany sweeps, 10, 11, 12s, but especially that 12-year-old division. That's the big one, where you get the opportunity to go on now and play some of your games on ESPN Plus and on ESPN later in the tournament. Then, of course, if you win this upcoming tournament, it starts Sunday, by the way, the opportunity to play at the Little League World Series. So a lot of fun. Thanks for all the positive feedback. Thanks to all of our sponsors making last week possible as well to be on the road for a week. Just great support when it comes to community-based things here on the Big X, and we are very appreciative of you guys and your support. Glad to be back, as I said, in studio. Let's get right to it. A busy show today. We've got three guests that are going to join us and a ton of news to get to coming out of the July recruiting periods. We're now done. No more windows coming up later this week. There were 3 5-day windows. They're closed as of yesterday on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. A lot of new things came out of the period for Indiana. Some new scholarship offers, including a new one over the weekend as well to add to the growing list, I think, of 4 or 5 new offers in this month of July. So we'll talk about that and more. The guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Once we get through some headlines coming up here in this opening segment, in segment two, I will be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach, the IU insider for the Star, and he's our IU expert on Mondays here on the program. Then later, we'll be joined by Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA board member. A lot of Southern Indiana headlines with Chad when he joins us. Always fun to catch up with him. And then later in the program, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central. He has had a great month of July. He's gearing up for a big high school season. His recruiting continues to advance. He picked up a couple new scholarship offers in the month of July. Had some unique opportunities as well. And, you know, I thought coming right off of this period, he's going back into school too, by the way, but coming right off of this period, it would be neat to talk with him about not only his progress this month, but what was it like going through all this travel from coast to coast and camps and tournaments and hearing from coaches in between. So he's going to join us a little bit later in the program today to update his recruiting and talk about what the crazy month of July was like as well. So stay with us for that. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Before we get to our headlines today, I do want to remind you, I know a lot of people listen in our local area. A lot of people listen to the program from outside of the area, 1450 AM and 96.1 FM. We appreciate all of you, no matter how you're streaming us or listening to us. Great to have you for the ride every day at 11. Don't forget, you can podcast the show. If you miss a segment or you miss a full show or you want to go back and hear something again, there's two easy ways to do it, SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. Just search the Hoosier Report inside of either one of those. You can easily find us. You can also, for SoundCloud, point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines, a summary of today's top IU and Southern Indiana sports News, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Couple things to get to today. First off, a new scholarship offer coming over the weekend, actually coming yesterday, from Indiana to a player named Caleb Love. Caleb Love is a member of the 2020 class, so another young player. That's kind of been the, for the most part, other than James Bouknight and maybe one other, most of the offers have been younger guys, and it's time for Indiana, I think, with the number of 2019 guys they're involved with and how far along some of those recruitments are in. It's time now for them to be in, I would assume, to get more involved with some of the younger kids, and that's what has happened this month. A lot of time from both Archie Miller and the assistants watching some younger guys. I mean 2020 and 21 guys this month. But Caleb Love, he's from St. Louis. Christian Brothers College is the name of his high school. He's 6'3", 170 pounds. He's a point guard. And again, he's in the class of 2020, so he'll be a junior for the upcoming season. He played in the Nike circuit, the EYBL, for Brad Beal, the Brad Beal sponsor team out of St. Louis. So another player to watch, not in the 2019 class, the group below that, but another name to add to the IU radar, which is a big fun part of the month to see who Indiana's watching in the 2019 class, who they're focusing on. Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks are two of the big ones, and they're in-state as well. But even the younger guys, it's been interesting to see where they've been at, what teams they've been watching. And when I say they, I'm talking about the IU coaches. Who gets a scholarship offer this month? There's a lot of players that I think are on the verge of a potential scholarship offer, maybe once some of the 2019 stuff works its way out. So, interesting. Caleb Love, another name on the IU radar to pay attention to with the upcoming high school basketball season. Now the travel ball is over. It's getting a little bit closer. Also, a couple Keon Brooks notes on the program. He was back. He had a slight injury this month. He set out a number of games, a couple tournaments for the Indy Heat team. They came back in this final period, and they played up in Fort Wayne at the Gym Rats Championships there at the Big Spies Fieldhouse. And not only did Keon return to the lineup and get some playing time this weekend, but he hit a last-second buzzer beater to help his team win the 17 and under championship of the tournament, his final tournament playing for the Indy Heat, of course, before they head back to their high schools coming up here. Some of them already, some of them in a few days. But he's back, hits a big shot. Also, this weekend, his father was asked by a couple media people, hey, just making sure Keon Brooks Jr. is going to Fort Wayne North, where he was at last year. And per his father, Keon Sr., who's been on this show before and who played college basketball at Wright State, was a great player out of Fort Wayne back in the day, played for Eddie Schilling, by the way, at Wright State. He said he still hasn't made a decision, nothing official yet, on where his son will land for his upcoming senior year. You'll remember at Fort Wayne North, Shabazz Khalik, who's been with us on this program before as well, he left and went to Richmond, which was kind of a surprising move because he had some talent returning. And, of course, he had Keon Brooks, a Mr. Basketball candidate, returning. So I don't know if there was some unhappiness there or what's going on within the program or who knows. You could speculate on a lot of different things. But even at this late date, July 30th, not sure exactly when Fort Wayne schools go back in. I don't think they go back as early as a lot of corporations do down here, but it's very likely that Keon Brooks may not be at Fort Wayne North per what his father said this weekend. Some people would say LaPorte LaLamere is making a push for him. They obviously have wreaked havoc on a lot of high school programs in the state and beyond, getting a lot of the key players to come to their program. But we'll keep an eye on that. That'll be interesting. And I obviously am a huge high school basketball guy. I like LaPorte LaLamere. Watch them if they're on TV. Appreciate the level of talent that they have. And this goes for all the elite high schools. But I'm an Indiana high school basketball guy. Indiana high school ball has already lost Brandon Newman, who was somebody that was really intriguing to me for this upcoming season, an IU target as well. Had a great July, by the way, and he's going down to Montverde in Florida. I sure hope that Keon, if he doesn't go to Fort Wayne, is planning to stay somewhere close and not go to LaLamere or one of those other schools. Maybe some benefits there in certain regards, but he brings a lot to Indiana high school basketball, and obviously he's a Mr. Basketball candidate. You don't want to see guys like that leave the High School Athletic Association. You want your best together, and you think about potential state matchups down the road later in March, and it's disappointing to think that. But hopefully he's back at North if that's what they see fit to do, or maybe somewhere else without going the prep school, the elite high school route. That's a look at some of the headlines. I also want to add in, before we get out of this segment, ESPN had a ranking of its top 50 teams, and I'm not really quite sure how they did it. A number of the Big Ten teams were in the top 50. Indiana is number 29, but above Indiana in those rankings, they got Northwestern at number 26, Illinois at number 21, Iowa at number 19, Michigan State at number 13, Wisconsin at number 8. Those were really confusing rankings. You know, all these early rankings sometime are interesting, and people are willing to maybe put a little early push towards certain teams, but that's very confusing. A number of the teams ranked, though, from the conference in this top 50 ESPN BPI poll, but interesting to see Wisconsin 8th, Michigan State 13th, Iowa 19th, Illinois 21st, Northwestern 26th, all ahead of Indiana, Purdue, Maryland, Michigan, and others. So very interesting there. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. The Hoosier headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk post-July, what's next for this IU program, and the IU coaches who have been so busy this month on the recruiting trail. We'll recap some of the big performers for the month, and we'll talk more IU basketball topics next with Zach Osterman here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here, Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Zach Osterman, IU insider for the Indianapolis Star, is always with us to help kickstart the Monday show. And Zach, I tell you what, I feel a little lost this week knowing I won't be spending a couple hours a day on Twitter and social media trying to track where Archie Miller and his coaches are at. Now some of these IU targets are performing in the tournaments. It's all in the book for this year, and now the coaches move on to the next thing, which I assume is getting more and more ready for the upcoming season and maybe getting some visits from some of these players that we've heard most about and read most about over the month of July.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of one of the, I don't know if you call it taking a breath moments, but maybe one of those moments in college in the college basketball calendar where you can just pump the brakes just a little bit. Wouldn't be surprised to see a few of these prospects, as you said, make their way to Bloomington. You often, I feel like, see that in particular with guys who picked up new interests that, you know, maybe didn't have an offer or a lot of IU interest before, but now it's pretty intense and they're trying to figure out, as we've talked before, whether or not they, you know, want to go down that path with IU as well. This is about the point, you know, I believe IU's last summer session is over. So my guess is if they're not already back home, the current players will kind of be turned loose soon, to, you know, go be with their families, maybe go on a vacation, do whatever before they report back, for the fall semester for fall classes. But it is kind of, you know, the what's always part of what's jarring anyway about July is how abruptly it all kind of comes to an end. When you don't, you know, when you go, it just feels like it's go, 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 go all the time. And then, as you said, all of a sudden it's just done. There's no winding down. There's no tapering. There's just kind of waiting to see if there's visits and then waiting for the school year to start.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, my guest. I guess now, you know, the attention for the coaches will be preparation for the upcoming season. We mentioned visits. Of course, Hoosier Hysteria is not too far away, so you've got some opportunity there to see a lot of recruits on campus for that. And players do get a little bit of a break. I heard reports that maybe some of the players were out enjoying maybe one of them, a notable name that familiar to us, was at Holiday World over the weekend down in southwestern Indiana. So with that being said, I guess everybody gets a little bit of a breather here after what's been a crazy 30 days or more.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's it's all just kind of based on the academic calendars. And if IU isn't done for the summer, they will be soon, because welcome week starts on August 13th. So we're basically 2 weeks away from that wonderfully chaotic week that leads into the fall semester, at least in Bloomington. I don't know how it works elsewhere, but down here we make our Kroger runs and our Target runs, and then we put sandbags up in front of our houses and hope that we aren't swept out by the horde of incoming freshmen and parents and all those sorts of things. But it is, it's just, at least for the players, as you said, this is a quieter time. This is a time when they get to, just take a couple of weeks. They'll still be working out and stuff at home, you'd imagine. You know, I've heard, even I remember one time Derek Elston talking about how Jhené Jackson had him running, doing running conditioning workouts on a beach where he'd gone with his family for part of the break between summer conditioning and the start of the fall semester. But this is, like I said, it's just one of the few times when you feel like the basketball calendar just eases up for a minute and lets everybody kind of retreat to their corner and, just take a breath, because once they come back for fall classes, obviously practice won't start for a while, but you can get right back into workouts. And by that point, it's not the off season anymore. You're starting to really talk to guys about what they need to be ready for the upcoming season.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, is our guest. Some new scholarship offers out over the month, not as many maybe as in past summers under some previous coaches, but I think most of the offers that went out this month, and there were only four or five to my count, were underclassmen, were players who will not be seniors when the high school basketball season gets here. So it does look like one of the priorities this month, in addition to tracking some of the top 2019 prospects that we all know Indiana very serious with, very involved with as far as their recruiting goes, one of the other priorities was getting to know some of the younger players, 2020 guys a little bit more, and apparently some guys that Archie and staff like, because they dished out some offers over the month.
Well, and you and I talked about it, I think, last week. This was about the time last year Indiana really started to turn up the juice with guys like Trace Jackson Davis. I think Isaiah Stewart was actually one of those players who we talked about who picked up Indiana interest in July of 2017, and reciprocated with a visit, if I remember everything correctly, there kind of in that August or early September period after the July window. This is the time when you want to start laying those foundations for your next class. And if you can pick up a commitment, great. You know, it's always good to have one in hand if it's a player you want. But I think it's safe to say that Indiana isn't where it is today with the Trace Jackson Davises and the Keon Brookses and so forth and so on, if they're not doing some of the legwork now to really sort of establish themselves in some of these players' recruitment, some of these high-level recruitments that are going to go all the way down to November or maybe even spring of some of these players' senior years. So, you know, from Indiana's perspective, it's not like they've forgotten about, you know, Keon Brookes or Trace Jackson Davis or Trey Mann or whoever. But it is one where you do need to at least start turning that page a little bit, because that's what sets you up to be in good position with the next class when it's time to start talking about official visits for some of these guys and final fives and final threes and all that stuff.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, my guest. Any thought on Keon Brookes over the weekend? And I should say Keon Sr., he told some reporters up in Fort Wayne where Keon and the Indy Heat team were playing that nothing's official yet as far as where Keon Jr. will attend high school. There was some thought earlier he might leave. Then it looked like he was going to go to Fort Wayne North. They hired a coach a little bit later into the summer. And now apparently that is still up in the air, even though we approach August 1st and school starting in that area of the state not too far down the line.
Yeah, you know, in that particular recruitment anyway, I don't know how much it would affect Indiana and Indiana's pursuit of a guy like Keon Brookes if he were to decide to go the prep school route. You know, it's something we've seen in recent seasons. I think, for example, about Paul Scruggs, you know, leaving Southport kind of abruptly the way he did. But Scruggs still wound up back in the Midwest. He still wound up at Xavier. From Indiana's perspective, there was all that talk about
Romeo Langford maybe going to prep school. I don't think that really affected the way Indiana was ever going to approach Romeo Langford recruitment. And looking at Keon Brooks in particular, you know, I think Indiana is where it is today in no small part because of Ed Schilling's relationship with Keon Brooks Sr., and that's not something that's going to go away if Keon Brooks doesn't attend high school in Fort Wayne for his senior season. So, you know, it's something where in general, I think, you know, Indiana high school fans and maybe even IU fans would rather see the player stay in state, you know, play at the school he's kind of come up in and all that. From the perspective of Indiana's coaches, I don't know that it's going to change a lot about their recruitment. I don't know that this is one where you could say that if he decides to move away geographically, that would somehow sort of move him away in, from a recruiting standpoint, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Back to the team for the upcoming season. When the month of July starts to wind down, the recruiting stuff will slow down a little bit. There'll still be some visits and things, and also there'll be a lot of announcements and things set for Hoosier Hysteria, which will be obviously fun to track. But one of the things that I start to think about this time of year, bits and pieces have already been announced. I guess the most recent was the Arkansas game on the road and some of the games that are part of that same event, but it is the schedule. We're getting closer on the schedule as far as the non-conference goes. We know the Big Ten matchups, the homes and homes, the who will play twice, who will play once, but we don't know the dates. How close are we to a schedule, and when does that typically come out? I know it can vary based on the coach and the athletic department, but I would got to believe we're getting pretty close to that.
I would guess, based on what we've seen in the past, that you'll see the Big Ten schedule released sometime probably in August, maybe early September. My guess would be sometime in like mid-late August. And then Indiana never releases any part of its schedule officially until it can release the whole schedule together, which means it waits for the Big Ten. And I'm guessing we'd see Indiana's schedule released sometime not long after that, maybe early September. I don't know that there are any other big reveals in terms of non-conference opponents or anything like that. And Indiana generally knows who it's playing in the Big Ten. We've known the Big Ten pairings for a while. My guess would be that we will see the Big Ten actually lay out its full 2018-19 schedule sometime in August, maybe early September. And then Indiana will come pretty soon after that.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays on the program. Zach, thanks for the chat. Look forward to having you with us as we slowly make our way to basketball season. It's getting closer, still a long way away, but we appreciate your insight every Monday here on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, as ever.
All right, we will head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more here on this Monday edition of the program coming up in just a few moments, so stay with us. We have coming up Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member, lots of Southern Indiana headlines to talk about with him. And then Kobe Barnes is going to join us. He's back in town after a crazy July schedule, a couple new scholarship offers this month, some really unique opportunities this month, but also a grueling schedule. And we'll talk with him about all accounts coming up later in the program today. Stay with us. Monday edition of the program rolls along after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member, and a regular guest of our program on Mondays to start the week talking Southern Indiana sports headlines. Chad, I know that you had some downtime this weekend. I know there wasn't a lot of basketball on TV, but You've been following the basketball tournament. It's called TBT. It's the $2 million tournament. Last week we talked about the crazy ending, the Elam ending that they have, where basically the clock goes off and there's a target score you've got to get to avoid all the late fouls and things that can really badger a basketball game. But nonetheless, some good players. I got a chance to watch Christian Watford play with that Eberline Drive team that beat a number one seed to get to the Final Four next weekend in Baltimore. And I got to tell you, it's interesting basketball. There's some good players involved. The rules are a little different. Very interesting, and I know it's caught your eye as well.
Oh, for sure. That Eberline Drive will be a tough out in the tournament. You know, those guys know how to play. They move the ball, they pass the ball well, and do a great job. But the Elam ending I thought was really cool. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week, and I watched a little bit more this week. And, you know, you might go through it with me as well, but they shut the clock off, and then they pick a target score. And the target score is whatever the leading team is, they add 7 points. So, in other words, if the team winning has 44, they add 7 points to that 44. And so whoever makes it to 51 first is the winner, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And so, you know, that's a pretty good way. That means every shot counts, and it almost goes back to old pickups when people played to seven, win by two or whatever else. This one, you know, this one's dead or seven dead. You know, as soon as you hit that number, you're off the court. So if you've got 50 and you're playing to 51, you may choke the stroke a little bit knowing there's a little bit of pressure on that game winner because you have to end the game on a game winner, which is kind of cool and kind of puts some pressure on it. And it does a little bit different perspective to go at it, and maybe speeds the game up, like you said, or you avoid all the fouls and free throw shooting and stretching the game on at the end. So something, you know, I don't know. I don't see college ever going to that. You know, it'd be kind of cool, maybe a preseason NIT or something when they experiment with the rules, or a postseason tournament, you know, the NIT where they experiment with the rules a little bit there just to see how it plays out. But I thought it's really interesting. I thought it was something that it changes your strategy to the game a little bit.
You know, it'll never be college basketball. It'll never be the NBA. But I do feel like, and others have said this that know a lot more about the media side and the money side of it than I do, but I do feel like there's an opening in the summer. And, you know, the NBA Summer League, I think its popularity has definitely grown. You look at the crowds in Las Vegas. You look at the TV ratings. Even in our market here, the Louisville market, where, you know, we don't have an NBA team necessarily outside of Indianapolis, but the rating's still good. But do feel like there's an opening for some sort of basketball in the summer, and they may be onto something here. They've got some big sponsors that have come on board. Obviously, ESPN has seen some value in its ability to sell it and get it on television. The rules, like the Elam ending, is interesting, something that would never be tried in regular season college basketball or the NBA, but it kind of found its first perfect fit there with the TBT. I'm curious to see where this thing goes, because if you look at the rosters of the four teams that have made the Final Four, the semifinals that are going to take place this coming weekend, there are a lot of guys on there that have NBA chances for the next season. No stars in the NBA for this upcoming year. Maybe no players that get significant time, but definitely guys that can play in the NBA coming off the bench or can play very high-level basketball overseas. So it's quality ball, and I'm curious to see what the future holds for it.
No question. It's kind of a where are they now type deal. You know, if you get online and you look at the team's rosters, you can see all the different people on there. It was kind of cool to see Greg Oden was on the Ohio State roster. And a lot of those throwback players were on there. And I think it's cool when the team is set up of teams just from that school, like the Syracuse team, Boeheim's Army, or all of those guys are all Syracuse guys. I think that's really cool. And they have maybe a former coach or a team manager coaching them in the tournament. So there's a lot of different cool things about it that are really neat. And that's something, you know, like you said, it passes the time. It gets basketball junkies their fix. And it's something that you can really watch, because some of them you can see they're running some of the old plays that they ran in college together. But like you said, there's players out there, and there's so many good players out there. It's unbelievable the amount of talent that's in the United States right now. And people are playing longer, people are playing better, you know, people are playing smarter. Basketball in the United States is really, really doing well.
Absolutely. And probably the coolest thing is anybody could put a team in the TBT. You got to go through a process, get votes online. It's all about fan support. It's not like, oh, we're going to put your team in because you've got so-and-so, and he is a great player or was a great player. Anybody can be the manager, the coach of a team, and put a team in. So it's interesting to see some of these teams come up from the from the very grassroots level. Chad Gilbert is our guest, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. Chad, AAU ball, summer ball, now officially comes to a close, you could say, with the month of July winding down. Coaches are off the road. A lot of players, of course, we track a lot of the IU targets, had big months, and obviously a lot of coaches put a lot of miles on their cars and a lot of miles in airplanes. But some local players as well, they made the most of the month, too, getting out, playing in some these exposure events.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and a great experience for these guys to go out and be at different events. I saw a team, you know, at I've seen teams on the beaches. I've seen teams at different sightseeing at different places when they're going out. And they're making the most of the whole experience. You know, the question is how long will this opportunity still be there? Well, did we just see the last of the July recruiting period? You know, is the July circuit over with? That's, you know, that's a question that, you know, it's out there to be seen. You know, there's going to be some changes. To what extent that changes will come, who knows? But it was good for players to get out there and get seen. I saw where Kobe Barnes at Floyd Central got to play in an Adidas event, an invite Adidas event, as an individual. So that was kind of cool. You know, and the more you're out there, the more you're on the radar. And what's cool is to kind of see in the next couple of weeks who all, where they're going to visit and where they're going to, you know, end up signing on their after their visits. Because it's kind of cool, you know, when you get a letter, that's cool, but thousands of letters go out. When you start getting the calls, that's cool. When you get the visits, then you get the offers, then you got to make the decisions. That's when stuff really becomes neat. And, you know, and the decisions these guys make are something that will impact their lives and impact their basketball careers as long as they, you know, as well as their education. You know, a lot of people transferred. I transferred. You got to go to a situation where a school is a right fit for you. And that's something that's a lot of pressure on an 18-year-old to make, a lot of pressure on their parents to make, because they want to do what's right for their kids, understandably so. Their kids have worked really hard, and those parents have worked really hard, along with their high school coaches, their AAU coaches, to put these kids in a position to get a scholarship. So a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. It's something that I'm sure kids, the players are anxious to wrap it up, and I'm sure the college coaches, they want to wrap it up so they can really focus on their teams in this coming year.
Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad is with us Mondays. We talk Southern Indiana sports headlines to get the week rolling. Fall sports, close. Football, just around the corner. Your job, the AD side of it, I know even though school not back in session at Charlestown or for Greater Clark just yet, has really picked up. And, of course, fall sports means the start of a brand-new year is here. And we get into football. That, obviously, the headline sport in the fall, and it's not too long until that season is winding down and we're at the start of basketball.
Oh, you know, today's the first official day of fall sport practice. Golf started last week. All other sports start today, so it's for real now. And there's a lot of things on the administrative side that kids have to have their physicals in. Kids have to have their final forms in, you know, working on kids transferring now. Coaches have to have their coaching coursework done where it's heat, concussion, where they've got their training, their first aid training in. So we're trying to put kids in the best position to be successful. But our number one concern is our kids' safety. And kids are out there, they're going hard. You know, this heat is not over with. We will have another hard heat spell here as football season occurs. And we'll have to go through that. And coaches, you know, have a lot of distractions, a lot of things to get off their plate so they can just coach their team. So we're up here at Charlestown. We're trying to wrap this up, you know, the next day or so that coaches can coach their teams. And to like New Albany Floyd's advantage, they started last week, so they've had a couple of days in the building where they can recruit kids out. We don't have kids until next Wednesday. So we may have different kids come out next week, which kind of puts kids in an eight ball because you have to have 10 practices before you can play in the first event. So you're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit on that one, as opposed to years past where we've started early and been able to recruit the halls and get kids out for fall sports. So it'll be interesting how this goes for us. You know, like I said, New Albany, Floyd County, they're going to be a little bit ahead of the curve on that one, and we'll just work hard and try to get our kids out there eligible as soon as we can.
Zaxby's High School football kickoff show coming up here in just a week and a half or so. Give us a little insight. We'll be talking with Coach Hawkins, your football coach, very soon. But what's the early feel on Charlestown football?
Talk with Hawk. Everybody wants to talk with Hawk. Hawk gets out there, and we hope to hear a lot of Zaxby's touchdown. We like to hear the Zaxby's touchdown on our PA out there. But I think we're going to have a really good team. You know, I'd be surprised if we don't have the best kid in the conference. That, you know, that says a lot, because the Mid-Southern Conference is a very competitive conference when it comes to football. And we'll win, you know, we're going to win a whole lot of games. You know, are we going to beat Providence? Providence is going to be awfully tough. They're going to be hard to beat. Are we going to beat Brownstown in week two at Brownstown on their new turf field? It's going to be awfully, you know, anytime you run against Reed May, it's going to be awfully tough. But our kids are going to be ready for the challenge. Are we going to beat Silver Creek? You know, Silver Creek clipped us last year, opening night. We've got Silver Creek opening day this year in the Friday night lights. Our kids will be fired up for that, as will Silver Creek's, and we'll have a big crowd that night. Are we going to beat those guys? North Harrison, who had a lot of success. Are we going to beat those guys? Those are the questions that we'll have. You know, there's some games that we know we're going to be in pretty good shape. But, you know, those are going to be the difference between having a really good season and having a good football season. So, you know, we want to go out and improve every week, just like every other sport does. You want to be better at the end than you are at the beginning. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I think our guys have been working hard, and hopefully we can put it out there on the gridiron and do well.
Chad Gilbert, always with us Mondays. Chad, great to catch up. Enjoy your final couple days of summer, although I know you've been back in the building with your assistant principal slash athletic director role already. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely, Coach. We need to get out to the house now before school starts, before football starts and gets busy. We can come out there and talk about some more topics.
There you go, Coach. Appreciate the invite. I'll see you soon.
Good talking to you. Thanks for the run, Matt.
Chad Gilbert with us. I just saw Zach Osterman tweet this out. I thought this was very interesting because I get this question a lot, too. New coming players, everybody always wants to know their number. I think we know Romeo Langford will be number zero based on some of his social media posts not too long after he was committed to Indiana. But other players this year, new faces for the Hoosiers, Jake Forrester will wear number four, Robert Fennessy number 10, Jerome Hunter number 21, Demise Anderson number 23, and graduate transfer Evan Fitzner will wear number 55. And Zach tweeted that out based off of what he's seen in some of the IU videos with the players wearing their uniforms and those sorts of things. But still a good point. It's a question that's out there, and those are the uniform numbers for IU incoming freshmen and, of course, the graduate transfer Fitzner as well. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Floyd Central senior Kobe Barnes. He'll join us to talk about the latest in his recruiting, when he might make a college decision, and also what was it like to be on the road as much as he was this crazy July recruiting. He was out there from coast to coast, and we'll get his thoughts on that too. Stay with us for more coming up next here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Final segment here on this Monday edition of the show. I look forward to getting an update from Kobe Barnes, who had a busy, busy summer of basketball. It started in June with his Floyd Central team playing through much of that month. And then this past July, he has been everywhere, playing in front of college coaches, getting a lot of unique opportunities. Kobe, welcome into the show. I hope you're getting a little rest here as you get back into the school routine.
Thank you.
Let's talk. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about your recruiting. You've had a solid list of schools that have been very interested in you now for some time, and this July, playing through your final month on the travel circuit, the opportunity to play in front of coaches again and get some offers. You had a couple new offers come in this month. I know Belmont was one of those offers, Fort Wayne the other also. What do you think about getting offers this late? Do those schools pique your interest? Are they going to be added to your list as you have done with the other schools, even though they're jumping in a little late with you?
Oh, it was great. It was very humbling because I felt like I had a very good summer, and it was great for them to think that I did too. And whenever they offered me, it was just very exciting because I've been talking to Belmont for a while, and they don't like to offer people very fast. So just showing that my hard work paid off to get that offer And then whenever IPFW offered me, it was a lot of it was very exciting because of the fact that they're so close to home and they've beaten a lot of very good teams. So
Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, our guest. Kobe, remind us some of the other schools that have been recruiting you now in addition to those new scholarship offers you got in July. Who are some of the others you're considering that you've had a maybe a little longer relationship with?
Miami of Ohio is up there for sure. Indiana State. And IUPUI. Those are also three really good schools.
Gotcha. Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, our guest. Let's talk a little bit about the month. Not only did you get to play a lot of basketball, but you got to do so in a lot of different cities and in a lot of different settings. You were selected to the Adidas All-American Camp, which took place out west. That's a little different from your normal July tournaments. Tell us about that opportunity to play with and against some of the best players that have been on the Adidas Gauntlet Circuit all year long.
Oh, it was great. A lot of competition. And just meeting and playing against some of the guys that you get to see play, like on Ball's Life or all over the internet, and just going out and being able to prove, like, and being selected to cheer one of the best players in the Gauntlet, going out and being able to show it was a lot of fun, and just playing with those guys, they're all great guys, so.
What about playing in front of coaches, whether it was the camp or the tournaments? Is there a different feel? I mean, you're used to playing in front of big crowds, and you've had college coaches coming to watch you in various settings now for a number of years. But when they're lined up like they are in July to watch some of these games that you've been a part of, there to see you, there to see your teammates, there maybe just to see what's going on with that game in general, is any different feeling, any nerves when you see that many coaches knowing that you have the opportunity to impress somebody new or maybe gain a new scholarship offer?
I'm not going to lie. Whenever I started this and whenever it was 15 and under, it was really, like, I was very nervous for the whole, like, summer. And then whenever 16s came around, more coaches started to come, and I got more used to it. And this year, it was kind of like playing in front of these big crowds against schools like New Albany and Jeff. I think that really prepared me because if I can play in front of 8,000-plus people, I don't really feel like there's any more pressure than that playing in front of a couple coaches on the sideline, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Floyd Central senior Kobe Barnes, our guest today. Take us back through the month. I mean, you were just so many different places with your team, and then I mentioned that Adidas camp you were a participant in as well. Just give people an idea what your schedule was from start to finish, as much as you can recall.
So we started off in New York. We played there for 4 days in the Gauntlet finale, and we played pretty well. We didn't finish like we wanted to, but we still played well. And then we came back to Indiana for 2 days, and flew out to LA, and we played there. I think it was 3 or 4 days, and then my team flew out to Las Vegas. And me and three other of my teammates stayed back, and we participated in the camp, and that was a lot of fun. And then my teammates and I flew out to Las Vegas, and we played there up until yesterday.
Kobe Barnes.
We just
got
back at like 2 o'clock in the morning last night, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning last night. So,
wow, what a month, what a number of flights, a number of trips. I can't imagine being either a player in that month-long circuit or, of course, a coach on the road tracking players all that month. Now that you're back, school is in session, and I know that the high school basketball season, your senior year, very important to you. What are some of the things that you'll do between now, the start of school, and the start of the official season to have yourself for your final year at your best?
I'm going to be getting up a lot of shots, of course, but I'm going to just be trying to be more mentally prepared for games and get in better shape, and also just try to become more of a leader on my team.
Kobe, when will you make a decision? Have you figured that out? Are you going to trim your list at all? Are you going to go right to an announcement? Do you think you'll do it before the season, during the season, after the season? Do you have any kind of idea about when maybe your college decision will become set and you'll make that announcement?
It's going to be soon. So right now I'm leaning towards no later than the end of August.
Absolutely. Good deal. Sure. Kobe, how excited are you and your Floyd Central teammates about the upcoming season? You guys have made some big steps ever since you've been at Floyd Central, but to be there for your final year, how excited are you?
We're very excited. We know we lost a lot of talent last year. We have like four kids that went to play college basketball. We have like five we had one more that could have if he wanted to. So we know we lost a lot of talent, but me and my fellow seniors have been talking about this team since like fourth grade, talking about our senior year forever. So we're looking to turn some heads and just come out and play as hard as we can every game and hopefully get a couple wins.
Kobe Barnes, senior at Floyd Central, gearing up for what I'm sure will be a big high school basketball season. Kobe, keep us posted on the progress of your recruitment when you make a decision. We'd love to talk with you again, and best of luck. Get some rest and enjoy, I'm sure, getting back into the school routine. Just keep in mind that basketball season's not too far away.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. He will be a fun player to track this season in his senior year, and interesting to hear him say that he may make a decision by the end of August and get that decision out of the way before the start of the high school basketball season. Kobe Barnes, our guest, thanks to him for joining us. He's had a crazy month, and that's kind of a little bit of a look into what, not just for Kobe, but for a lot of these players we talk about and that IU is tracking, what their schedules have been like if they're playing on the Adidas circuit or on the Nike circuit or on a shoe-sponsored circuit in general. Very, very aggressive schedule in the month of July, no question about that. That'll wrap things up for this Monday program. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget we do this each day, 11 a.m., here on the Big X Sports Radio. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. If you missed the show, if you want to go back and hear a segment, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We are also available in Apple Podcasts. Just search the Hoosier Report. Please leave us a good rating and a review. That'll help us reach others that might be interested in this show. That's going to wrap it up. I'll be back Tuesday. Greg Doyle is with me. Mike Pegram is with me, and much more. See you tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.